Wow. So happy to be with you, ladies and gentlemen. And I love your pastor. I have the privilege to oversee almost 800 missionaries, ministers throughout the world. We're in 109 nations of the earth. And I get to go to a lot of different churches, a lot of places. But every time I come here, I feel at home. You know, I love your pastors and my dear friend that's walking out the door right now, Douglas. He's making an exit. And so Douglas and I have known each other for about 25 years. And Douglas, you know, you have a lot of acquaintances, but you don't have many friends. I know a lot of people, but Douglas is my friend. And I love him, his precious wife, his beautiful children. And I'm honored, Pastor Peggy. Thank you for allowing me to come to your house and speak to your people. And I promise not to scare you. I can be a scary kind of guy, but I'm just honored to be here. And I love you, Doug. Thanks for being my buddy. You know, you can pick up. You know, when you have a friend, I don't see Doug that often. In fact, it was 2 years since we've seen each other. But when you pick up your phone and you go, hey, how's it going? And you never left off where you were. That's friendship. Mm-hmm. And so I'm honored to be here. So let's get this chicken kicking. The other day, I was preparing to come here, and I'm in some meetings throughout the week in Fort Lauderdale and some other things. And as I was preparing, I was working on my motorcycle. I've had a motorcycle ever since I was 15 years old. There's only one motorcycle. It's a Harley Davidson. If you drive anything, you're riding a false prophet. There's only one Savior, and there's only one motorcycle. So I'm working on my motorcycle, and I'm rebuilding a carburetor. I want to get a little bit more horsepower. You can tell I don't play basketball or golf. So my hobby is motorcycles. So I'm working on my motorcycle, and I've got this old dog. It's the most ugly dog ever. His name is Spike, but I love him. He's kind of a short or long-haired collie, and Spike sheds everywhere. My wife hates him. My wife is the most beautiful woman in the entire world. Her name is Gloria. Haha, I just felt the anointing. And She is the glory of my life, but she hates Spike. And so Spike stays right with me, wherever I am, Spike, because Gloria has been known to give Spike the left foot of fellowship. So I just tell her, I say, spit the dog hair out, move on. You know, come here, Spike. Come here, buddy. Come here. But anyways, I'm working on my carburetor. And, of course, the church. Church always calls, you know. They can't give a brother a break. And so Gloria says, hey, and I got this pan of gas. So I, okay, yeah, I'll take care of it, no problem. And I come back, and all of a sudden, this is right before I came here. All of a sudden, I knew the devil was going to give me a hard time. You know, when I travel sometimes, you know, there's always attacks. I know it probably don't happen to you guys, but it happens to me. And so all of a sudden, I come back, and I hear this. I thought, what in the world? Spike! And that dog looked at me and went, And all of a sudden, that dog started running in circles, faster and faster. And I'm not as fast as I used to be. And I'm trying to catch him, you know. And that dog goes, whoo, whoo, whoo. And finally, that dog just rolled over. Stupid dog ran out of gas. Come on, Jesus! Well, I got a sermon somewhere here for you. Oh, here's a good one right here, but this is not what I'm going to preach on today. Love. Turn to your neighbor and say, I love you. That is a good sermon. I love that sermon. Oh, here's some people's favorite. Prosperity. But I ain't preaching about prosperity today. Oh, this is my favorite sermon of the whole wide world. but I'm not. I'll use a little bit of this. This is Jesus. Turn to your neighbor and say, I love Jesus. Okay, I got a sermon somewhere in here. Oh, here it is. This one's for you. This sermon is for you personally. Turn to your neighbor and say, the guy made a sermon just for me. Oh, praise God. I want to talk to you today about something that the Lord laid on my heart about this church. Now, I hadn't preached this at any other church. This is the word of the Lord I felt like I got for this church. And I want to talk to you from the scriptures found in Matthew 22, 14. And it's, many are called, but few are chosen. Turn to your neighbor and say, that sermon's for you. Many are called, but few are chosen. And today, for the next 26 minutes and 37 seconds, I am going to try to articulate what I felt like the Spirit of God had said to me concerning you. It's time to take leadership of the church. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 is one of my favorite groups of scriptures. There's a time and season under heaven for everything. And this is our time for this church. God wants you to take leadership of the church. Turn to your neighbor and say, now I know he's talking to you. The definition of leadership, and I teach in a Bible school, and we have a mission school, and I teach leadership. But the definition of leadership is this. It's an act of leading a group or an individual, a position of influence. Turn to your neighbor and say, I think you're an influential person. See, my number one role as a leader, first of all, is to my wife. Number two is to my children. Number three is to my profession. Number one, I must be a leader. Jesus said, whoever wants to be great must become a servant of all. God wants us to be people that serve, that no matter what, we'll go out of our way to serve. One time, I just thought this thought. I was running to El Salvador. I was doing a mass crusade. I had 133 people coming with me. All kinds of churches were coming. We've rented a soccer stadium. We're on our way, and all of a sudden, the phone rings. And it's a family in great need. And they have this little baby that's brain dead. They put it with a three-year-old, and the three-year-old rolled over the baby and suffocated it. But the baby's still alive. And I prayed with them. They're a family that is on drugs, and you name it. I work with a lot of different types of people at risk. And so I kept praying for that baby, and I believe in miracles. I believe God does miracles in our midst. Yeah. Turn to your neighbor and say, look at me, I'm the miracle. And as I went to, they called and they said, you've got to go to the hospital. We want you to come now. And I said, I'm leaving. I'm getting on a plane. I've got things to do. I just can't. I can't do it. I'm busy. I got people to see and places to be. As I got in my car, my bags were packed, and I thought, doggone it. Started driving to that hospital. And I was mad. I know you've never got mad. And as I was driving, I got up and walked into the ICU room, and I was just there Friday visiting a young boy. And I go to all the hospitals. I pray. I've seen the dead raise. I've seen it myself. And as I was going there, I walked in the IC room, and this little girl came up to me, a little nurse, and she had those Croc shoes on. First thing she said was, hello, Pastor Rod. I just noticed you. "Hello, Pastor Rod." And I thought, doggone it, I got to pretend I'm a pastor now. I said, "How you doing? Where's this baby at?" "Oh, it's over here." "Okay, okay." So I walked in there and I looked, and there's a trauma counselor, a couple doctors, and I just stood against the wall and I started weeping uncontrollably. And I said, "Oh, well, that's the children's pastor, and he's sweet. Look at that guy. I oversee a lot of things anymore, but I will always be a children's pastor. I'm proud of that title." And so as I stand there, I'm weeping, and they're thinking, "Oh, this guy's really all that in a box of Cracker Jacks." You know, I wasn't weeping about the child. I was weeping about myself. I was weeping because I was selfish, that I'm too busy to come and help people. I got people to see and places to be. As I stood there weeping, crying before God, repenting, finally I got my composure and I said, "Okay, let's pray. This baby will not die. I declare it. I decree it." And I prayed over that baby, and God's spirit came in that hospital room in that ICU on the 12th floor at St. John's Hospital, and it was a miracle. It was a miracle what happened. And the girl, the little nurse came to me, and I just said, "Hey, do you like those shoes?" Prayer was done. I got to get going. I got to catch a plane. She said, "Oh, I love them. They're the most comfortable." And this woman, she was a Native American woman, very large woman, heavyset woman, his grandmother. I could have filled two Harleys with the oil off her hair. And so as I'm there, I said, "How much are those shoes?" She said, "Well," the mother said, I said, "Are they comfortable?" She said, "Yeah." I said, "How much are they?" "About $23, $25. I thought, $23, $25. I eat that at McDonald's for lunch. $23, $24. Double cheeseburgers. I thought, that's nothing. And then the mother said, "I'd like to have a pair of those too." I thought, "Well, I got to go. I'm sorry." And as I walk out, I come out of the elevators, the gift store is right there. And right there in the window was a pair of Crocs shoes. And I thought, oh, debit card, don't let me down. But then I thought, oh, I better call my wife. Because, man, write this down. Your wives will get funny if you buy shoes for other women without asking. So as I'm there, she said, "Yeah, Rod, whatever you want to do." I bought these two women a pair of shoes. I just said, "Hey, call up to this. Tell them to pick out what color they want, what size they want." So as I'm going, I'm catching my plane. My assistant calls me and she said, "Pastor Rod, I'm going to try to switch this call over to you. It's from Manitoba, Canada." And I didn't know Manitoba lived in Canada. And so, and I said, "Who is, how can I say, is this Rod Baker helping hurting children?" "Yes, this is me." "Are you the guy that works with inner city kids?" "And yeah, that's me, that's me." "Rod Baker, I'm a representative of the Croc Manufacturing Company. And I've been authorized to donate to you $750,000 worth of Croc shoes." And I heard the Spirit of God speak to me. He said, "Because you were willing to take leadership to help others, I will always honor you. Don't miss the point." See, I'm talking about taking leadership. And can I tell you something? I didn't get $750,000 worth. I've got over $2.5 million worth of shoes from them now. See, when we interrupt our lives to serve others, God will always bless us. Turn to your neighbor and say, "It's about you, baby." Romans 12:6 says, "Each of us have received a gift according to the grace given to us." I cannot sing or play like these guys. That's not my gift. I ain't got it. I wanted to be a rock star, but I did too much LSD, PCP, and whatever else too. And I lost my singing voice. Can't you tell? In fact, I was called in the principal's office one time. I loved telling the story. And they said, "You got ADD. I said, "I do not. Search me." I've done some LSD, but I ain't got ADD. See, all of us have a gift. You are gifted by God to do great things in the earth. I love this, Romans 12:6. each of us receive a gift according to the grace given to us. The greatest leadership institution in the world, ladies and gentlemen. And I have spoken at many universities. I was just asked by Oral Roberts University recently to go to Israel on their behalf to speak on compassion. But the greatest institution in the world for leadership is right here, right now. It is the church. And it's time God's people take the church. The length of our influence depends on the depth of our concerns for others. The length of our influence depends on the depth of our concerns for others. When's the last time you served somebody? Someone ought to write a song about that. You're going to have to serve somebody. Maybe Joe Cocker did. I don't know. Vince Lombardi, the greatest football coach ever lived, would walk on a football field every game, and he would say, "Men, this is a football." He'd hold up a football. These were professional football players. You know what Vince Lombardi knew? He knew if the men would understand the elementary basics of a football, they could become champions. Yes. Ladies and gentlemen, this is God's word. And if you will grab a hold of it, eye has not seen, nor ear has heard, nor entered into the heart of man those things that the Lord has planned for those that love him and serve him. The greatest leadership book in the world is right here. I was with Dr. Sam Chan Thursday, one of the leadership gurus of the nation. And we were just talking, we're kicking the can, and we're dreaming about some things. And listen, it's time. Turn to your neighbor and say, "It's time. It's time, Tom. It's time, Tom. It's time." It's time to take leadership. We must move forward. The hour is late. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day. I want to share with you that five thoughts really quickly with you. Number one, we got to keep God first. Simple. It's a simple thing. My first memory verse I ever memorized was Matthew 6:33. Or was it, "Let every man be swift to hear and slow to speak, slow to wrath"? I think that was my second one. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything else shall be added. God wants you to seek him. Today is the day you seek God. In just a few minutes, we'll have an opportunity just to seek God and ask God's Spirit to speak to us. But we must discipline ourselves as leaders to seek God. Second thought I want to share with you today is you need to examine yourself. Believe it or not, I stand in an office of authority. So now and then, I have to check people. You know my mercy, my greatest spiritual gift is mercy. I hate being ugly to people. But sometimes I'm saying, "Hey man, is this true that you're sleeping with another woman?" I hate that. Listen, man, this is a freebie. It's not even in my sermon. You want to be a masculine man? Don't forget this. You want to be a man's man? I'll tell you how to do it. It's not by fighting. It's not by cussing. I've done all those things. It didn't work. Being a man's man is accepting responsibility. That will make you masculine. If you will accept responsibility for your family, for your wife, for your children, you will become a masculine man. Turn to your neighbor and say, "Hoorah."
Hoorah.
We must examine ourselves, check ourselves out. Every day I pray this prayer. This morning at 5 o'clock I prayed this. "Lord, create a clean heart in me and renew a steadfast spirit within me." Every day, Psalms 51:10. "God, help me. Forgive me that I kind of was rude to somebody." I know that doesn't happen in Florida. You know. Number three, be generous. I live to give. I have a warehouse almost with $2 million worth of food. I have 37 outreaches a week. These trucks go into neighborhoods and they deliver groceries to single moms in Section 8 housing. I started with a little closet. My pastor, Pastor Billy Joe, that went with the Lord 5 years ago, came to me one day and I had this room and they had all these dysfunctional people. I mean, they were scary looking people. Not like you. And he walked by and he said, "I didn't hire you to build me a food ministry." I thought, "Oh, Jesus, speak." I said, "No, sir, you didn't. You hired me to reach people." "Good answer, Rod, good answer." And since then, I've run my own trucking company. Thousands of people, we're sending containers around the world. Because, see, once we start taking leadership of what we have, see, moreover, we're stewards of the mysteries of Christ. And moreover, in stewardship, one must be found faithful. As we are faithful with little things, turn to your neighbor and say, "Do something little for God." I hope it's okay, Pastor Peggy. After I'm gone, you can help. You can straighten everything Brother Ron messed up. Be a cheerful giver. Give, give, give. Live to give. I live to give. I look for opportunities. I've been married to this woman 41 years. Our biggest argument was, "You give everything away." Yeah, but that's why you got the house you got. That's why that you got the car you drive. That's why, you know, you got those things. Because you can never outgive God. As a leader, we must be givers. We look to give. Well, you know those people that just take advantage of you, brother. Hey, listen, I've met them all. My name's Wes. I just want your best. My name's Jimmy. Just gimme, gimme. I've met them all, folks. I've met them all. It's okay because I give out of love. Faith works by love. Yes. We got to love somebody. And as we give because we love people. We are compelled to help them. Because I look at people and I say, "Oh, Jesus, you got to do something because I can't." Number four, enjoy the journey. I'm 59 years old and I'm just finally getting a revelation of enjoying the season of life that I'm in. I'm going to live for God. I just buried a man, 89 years old. I was with him when he died. I was on his bed, on my knees. Had beautiful hair like Doug's. Thick hair, but his hair was all white. Doug still got a little gray in his. And I rubbed my hands through his hair because I was going, "Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus, give me some of that hair. Give me some of that hair. He's leaving, Lord. I need some." And as I sang to him, and here's what I said. I said, "Lord, Charles, he led more men on death row than any man in the state of Oklahoma." I said, "Charles, as Charles leaves, Lord, I want 30 more years. I want 30 more years of ministry. And after that, you can take me home. I don't care. I just want to serve you and I want to help people." See, what is our life? I had a dream recently. It shook me. I woke up with tears in my eyes. I walked into this beautiful house, and there was beautiful things everywhere. And you could tell in the dream that this couple had passed away. There was photographs. And as I reached out to touch some of their things, to examine them, they decayed right in front of me. See, we can't take anything to heaven but people. Can't take anything but people with us. Some people, you know, they get stuck in possessions. I want to be stuck on Jesus. Enjoy the journey. Number five, what is God saying is important. What is God saying? You know, I love that commercial when Ian Hutton speaks, everybody listens. Hey, why don't we listen to God? James 1:27, pure and undefiled religion before God is orphans and widows in time of their need. Psalms 27:10, although my father and mother have forsaken me, then the Lord will adopt me and take care of me. There's hurting people. There's hurting people. Job said, the blessing of the perishing man came upon me. Hey, listen, I walk in blessings every day. I walk them. Psalm 68:19. Blessed be the Lord who daily loads me with benefits, Douglas, the God of our salvation. Why? Because when you are a blessing, God will continue to bless you. It's not that I'm all that, but I serve an all that kind of God. Amen. And today, I want to talk to you. It's time you take leadership of this church. You have giftings and talents and skills. You know, I'm a recruiter. That's what I do. In fact, Sam said to me, he said, you know what you are, Rod? The Sam Chan guy. I said, no, but I'm sure you're going to tell me. You know, when I lived in Haiti for 4 years, people used to come to me, and I love it, Tom, Marlene, I love how they'd say, you know what you ought to do here in Haiti? And I'd say, no, I don't, but I think you're going to tell me. You know, they'd come for 3 days, and they'd be a Haitian expert, you know. And he said, Rod, your number one is your high capacity. It's amazing what you do and what you accomplish. Number two is, you're a lover of people like I've seen none. Me and you need to be lovers of people, not of possessions. Turn to your neighbor and say, are you writing this down? The Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. Me and you have a mandate. We have a holy mandate. We have a holy commission. Many years ago when I meet with people in organizations and I'm over certain things, I say, today I'm going to ordain you, and today I'm going to ordain you, every one of you. Can you do that? Yeah. I oversee an ordination organization, but I ain't going to give you a piece of paper. Jesus never gave his disciples a piece of paper. I'm going to ordain you to do good works in the earth if you will answer the call. Many are called, but few are chosen. Hey, grab me that ladder, would you? I didn't do this, but I thought I'd switch it up. The Apostle Paul, the second greatest leader in the entire known world, Jesus Christ was the first. The second greatest leader in the entire world was the Apostle Paul. He was a great missionary. Today I asked these men to bring this ladder in. You get a treat because we didn't do this the last service. Set it up for me, guys. The Apostle Paul was in prison. He was at the end of his life. And he said to Timothy seven words. I'm sorry. Yeah. Seven words. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 21. He said to Timothy, come before winter. What does that mean? Come before winter. Paul was at the end of his life, the greatest man of God that we know besides Jesus Christ on the face of the earth. What was he saying to Timothy? Timothy, you got to get here. You got to get here before winter. Because if you get here, when winter hits, it'll be too late. I'm telling you, it doesn't matter what season we are in. It's winter time. It's winter time. There's people waiting for you. There's people. I was just with Bob Harrison just the other day and Tuesday of last week, and we were talking. Your life, my life, is connected. Checking that clock, huh? I'm going to preach real hard on him in just a minute. I'm connected. As long as I live, I'm connected. I'm connected to people. You're connected to people. We're connected. And the way we live our lives will determine thousands of people's damnation or thousands of people's destination. And God is saying, many are called, but few are chosen. See, look at this ladder. Go ahead, son. Climb up that a little bit. See, I'm in leadership. is right there. Leadership, it all depends on who's holding your ladder. Go ahead, go up a little higher, son. Pastor Peggy, would you mind watching yourself in case something happens? See, in leadership, it always determines who's holding your ladder. Who's holding your ladder? Who's holding for you? Someone is waiting for you to hold on for them. You've got to have somebody on the end of your ladder, because you'll never finish the job. This church will never finish the job that God has asked them to do unless you've got some ladder holders. Doug, get over on the other side, because I feel like tipping this thing over. See, you want people. Come on. You want people. Come on, grab a hold of that ladder. And then get up. What are you waiting on? Come on. You want people holding the ladder. Because listen to me. When the time comes, when somebody is needing a miracle, you're going to want somebody that's not checking their cell phone. You're wanting somebody that's holding the ladder. Because leadership, it's about serving and helping others accomplish what they've been asked to do. Give my friend a big hand. Today, ladies and gentlemen, my son Christopher spent 4 years in Haiti. He's just recently come home. Haiti's a tough place to be, Tom. Tough place. But I was holding the ladder for my son. I was holding it for him. And there was times that I wasn't around. There was other people holding it. Pastor Peggy needs some ladder holders here. She needs some people. There's an old song. Give me 10 stout-hearted men, and I'll give you 10,000 more. You guys want to step up? God's looking for men and women that will say, "Hear my Lord, use me." What are these guys doing? I think it's a fashion show or something. What's going on here? Go ahead. Walk down to the door. Turn around. Samuel, and I wasn't going to do this. I was going to have you guys get up to stage, but now I'm going to use this illustration. Saul was called by God. Saul was called by God. You're called by God. Saul's dad said to him, "Go find the donkey. Go find it. It's lost." You have been given a call by God to go find something that is lost. Every one of you in this room. So they go. Saul here. The Bible says that he was the handsomest man in Israel. Head and shoulders. We couldn't find anybody else. We had to settle for this guy. He's a good looking man. His wife loves him. And he took his servant. They went searching for this lost beast. The servant right there. You can tell he's kind of got a servant heart, you know. He's searching for the beast. They can't find it. Saul says, "Hey, man, let's go home. Dad's going to be worried about us." I'm telling you, you're always on the Father's mind. And he's not worried. Because he that sits on the circle of the world, Isaiah chapter 40, verse 22, he's always watching over you. And Saul says, "Let's go home." And the servant said, "No, there's a man of God here. Let's inquire of him." So the man of God comes up. He's got a real nice shirt on. His wife picked out for him today. And he said, "Don't worry about the donkey. Tomorrow I'm going to tell you something. Because the man of God heard. Listen to me. Today, I stand in the office as an evangelist in this house. And I've heard the word of the Lord. And it ain't me. It wasn't Samuel. It was people that were willing to serve. He said, listen, you have been called to be the king of Israel. The Bible says that Saul started prophesying. He'd never been a prophet before. I'm not a prophet. I have a non-profit ministry. Woo, that was a good one. Chakalaka. He starts prophesying. He starts doing his thing. And then the man of God leaves. They go. The beast has been found. Then all of Israel gathers. Chapter 10, verse 22, I think it is, it declares that for Samuel. All of Israel gathers, and they are ready to anoint Saul as the king of Israel. Don't miss this. Don't miss this. They're ready. And all of a sudden, they inquire. They say, where's Saul at? Where's Saul? He's watching a football game on ESPN. Oh, he's working on his Harley. Oh, he's in the lake fishing. Where's Saul at? So powerful. But when they sought for him, they could not find him. Therefore, they inquired of the Lord further. Has the man of God not come yet? They're asking the Lord, where is our chosen one? Where is our leader? Don't miss this. And finally the Lord said, the Lord said, he's hiding in the stuff. See, a lot of people, a great theologian said, if you want to go anywhere in the world and hide, go to a church. No one will ever find you. The scripture says he was hiding in the stuff. My question to you is, I'm out of time. My question to you is, what stuff are you hiding in? Thank you, Saul. And you know the rest of the story about Saul? He never fulfilled his destiny. Matthew 22:14. All of you are called. Many are called, but few are chosen. Today, will you bow your heads with me, please? Today, the Lord gave me this word. Psalms 90, verse 12 says, teach us, O Lord, to number our days, that we may apply wisdom to our heart. Today in heaven, this day is recorded. Today I have a vision for you. Here, look up here just for a second. It fell out of my Bible and I seen it. 1992, I cut it out of an old cardboard, stupid thing. I have a vision. I have a vision for you. I have a vision for you to fulfill your destiny. My mission statement, you will never exhaust your potential for success by helping other people succeed. For you to succeed, it's for me to succeed. It's kingdom business.
Yes.
See, today, ladies and gentlemen, I've got a vision. I've got a vision for you. I got a vision for this house. I got a vision that God's people will answer the call. Bow your heads. Listen to me now. 1992, my son Christopher went on his very first mission trip. I untied his boots. He didn't like it. He was leaving. He was ready to go. Dad, I got to go. They're coming. They'll wait for you. I untied his boots. Doc Martens. He thought he was all that. And I said, hush, be quiet now. And I took off his socks. And I had prepared a bowl of water. I pulled it out and I washed his feet. I washed his son's feet. You know, I've been all over the world and I've washed ministers' feet. Should have brought me a bucket of water today. I'd have washed your feet. And the Lord gave me a revelation out of Matthew 22, 14. He finally showed me what it meant. He said, Rod, many have been called, but few have made the sacrifice to answer the call. Today, I'm asking you, as I washed my son's feet so many years ago, will you answer the call to leadership, to a dying, hurting, broken world? You say, I can't do what you do. I get all that. I'm not asking you to. I'm just asking you to take a step of faith. I have millions of dollars worth of food. I started with a little closet. Thousands of children are eating. I just started with a bag of groceries. Just take a step. Take a step of faith and let God do the rest. Today, number one, if you don't know who Jesus Christ is, you'd say, man, I just got some temporary amnesia. I've walked away from God. I hadn't been really connected. You know, God knows me and I know God and, you know, we got this thing going together. No, I'm asking you, will you humble yourself at the Master's feet today? Will you say, Lord, here am I. I'm giving you my life. If that's you and you're in this room, just lift up your hand real quick and put it down. Yeah, yeah, see it, yeah, yeah, yeah. See it, yeah, see it, yeah, yeah. See, when we lift up our hand, we lift up our heart to God. It's an international sign of surrender. We're saying, God, I give you everything. Number two, it's a, I don't know what my gift is, and I don't know where I fit, and I don't know. And I get all that because I've struggled with that for years. But all I knew is I could serve somebody. Today you'd say, I'd like to be considered and counted in as a servant of the living God. I'm surrendering myself to the service of a king. Could I see your hands? Quickly, put them up high. Put them up high. Unashamedly, put them up high. Unashamedly. Because when we lift up our hands, we are saying we are your servants. Stand up with me, please. Listen to me. Guys, can we get rid of this? Listen to me, folks. I hope I didn't offend anybody. Sometimes I got an anointing to doing that. That's not what I want to do. I just kind of tell people how the cow ate the cabbage sometimes. But I'm telling you today, the greatest act of leadership is the act of service. And when we choose to serve people, we choose to act like Jesus. Here, look. See? Jesus lives in me. The Christ that dwells in me greets the Christ that dwells in you. And today, I am going to commission some people. Pastor Peggy, is that all right? I'm going to ordain some people. Went a little long. I apologize. I just blame the ADD, okay? Today, I want to pray over you. I want to lay my hands on you. And there ain't nothing special about me. But I am the Word. I have been given the privilege to deliver the Word of the Lord. I don't take that lightly. And today, I want to stir up the gift of God that's in you. You'd say, raise your hand. Come quickly right in front of me. It was many, many, many hands. Come quickly. I'm going to pray over you. Come quickly. Come on. Nudge your husband. Say, get down there. Come on. You're the apple of his eye. You're his treasure. Both of you girls are. You're his beauties. You're his greatest creation. Come on, who else? The rest of you need a written invitation. Come on, who else? Quickly, 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 quickly. Brother Rod ain't coming back for a while. And today, I have something to give. I have something to give. Because see, freely I've received, so freely I give. It's nothing, anything I have. It's all what Jesus has given. All right, good. Now the rest of you people, come on. Come on. Now the rest of you, come on. Pastor Rod's waiting on you. Come on. Come on, Bigum, back there. Yeah, it's your toy car shirt. Come on. Yeah, come on, let's go. I finally had to call you out. The Lord told me I didn't want to. Come on, press in. Press in, because we're believing God to do something great in your life. That's what I came here for, that God would do exceedingly abundantly above anything I could do, that he would touch your heart. Psalmist said, I will run in the ways of your commandments, and you will enlarge my heart. Today I have challenged you to answer the commandment of God, to be a servant, to be a leader in this house. All right, just come on. Let's get a little crazy. Let's lift up our hands. Come on. Come on. Ye kamando, mi hando, mi hamando. Me no, me do, mi hiya, he su, she ba. Ze zo, ze za, ze zo, she sha, she she. My grace is sufficient for you, saith the Lord. My grace is made perfect. So I will perfect everything that concerns you. Everything that the enemy has tried to lie and keep you back from walking into your destiny. My grace is beyond measure. My strength covers the earth. As the waters cover the sea, so my glory will cover the earth. And you are part of my glory because you're my creation. So walk in the power of my spirit and my love for you. Say this with me. Jesus, I humbly stand before you. In heaven's army. For you are the God of the angel army. And today, I have took a step of faith to answer the call. I heard it, and I am obedient. And from this day forward, I will serve you. I will be your messenger. I will be your voice. I will be a voice crying in the wilderness. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make his path straight. Now, Lord, I receive a fresh anointing on my life. Fresh anointing on my life right now. Ko le maso mando mi ande. Ko she kando do de monde bondo bada. Silver and gold I do not have, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up. Rise up into your destiny. Rise up into the place that I've called you to be. Come on, pray in tongues. Pray in tongues. The Bible says, he that speaketh in unknown tongues speak unto man, not unto God. Speaks unto God, not unto man. Come on, speak. Ask God for a heavenly language. Ask God for the anointing, the tongues of men and angels. Though I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not love, it profiteth me nothing. God wants to pour out his love upon you, chosen vessel. Chosen vessel. You are a chosen vessel. You are God's vessel. Look at me. I see you. I see me. I see you. I see God's power flowing through you. Shoko ba 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 shit. Shekabo ba ba shekaba ba. Shekabo. He is the Lord God of all flesh. There's nothing too difficult for him. Nothing's too hard for the Lord. The Lord parted the Red Sea. He can part any sea that you need parted. Shoki mande o makanda. Here is treasure. 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 Everything's gonna be alright. Everything's gonna work out. Everything's gonna be okay. Here is treasure. You're my gift. You're my friend. Shekabo mande. Come on, pray in tongues. Come on. Speak unto God. Speak mysteries. Speak unto God. Stir up the gift of God that's in you. The fire of God that's in you. Champions for God. 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 You are God's champion. You are God's people. You are God's chosen one. Sheka bo 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 bo. Sheka bo 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 bo. Sheka bo 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 bo. Shoko bo 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 bo. Ye bo 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 bo. Sheka bo 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 bo. Sheka. Sheka bo 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 bo. Praise you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. We honor you, Lord. We honor you, Lord. Called by God. Called and set apart. Set apart. Called and set apart by God. Pastor Peggy. Shoko ba 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 ba. Shoko ba ba ba.